I just wanted you all to be set. I'm going to give you your public service announcement of the morning, and it is this. There's only 23 shopping days left until Christmas, so if you haven't started, now is the time. I am thankful that we do most of our shopping online. We don't have to fight most of the crowds. That's good. And I even gave, as you saw, I gave kids Advent calendars, so they're counting down too. We're all set. But here's the thing. Life gets more and more busy for most of us in December. There's parties to go to. There's shopping to be done. There's decorating to be, all that kind of stuff. And so I bring this up to tell you this, and this is just my encouragement to you, is as you are able, I would encourage you to come to church for the next four Sundays, not for any other reason than to come in here and exhale from all that's going on, just to breathe, to hear beautiful music, to be surrounded by loving people, and in that you'll also, I pray, you'll experience the presence of God, because God is here too. And when I think about us being a loving church family, I got to tell you something that happened last Sunday. If you weren't here, I was also not here. I was at that church in Glendale or Peoria, Arizona. I forget which town I was in. And we were visiting family for Thanksgiving. Rachel's mom lives in Peoria, Arizona now, so we were down there. And because I was off on Sunday, one of the things I wanted to go do is go do some secret church shopping. That's what pastors do when they're off. They go see what other churches are doing so that they can borrow some of their ideas and bring them back. So we went to this church just to see what they were doing so that maybe I'd get some ideas for things that we could do here at Bethel. Now, here's the issue. What happened? We get to church and the greeter, like we have greeters, people say hi to people, opened the door and greeted us and said, "Welcome." And that was the only person who talked to us the entire time we were at that church. So we were there for an hour and 20 minutes. The only person who talked to us was the greeter. Now, as a pastor, what I tell you is that's really no big deal to me, because I'm not going to join that church because I'm already a member of a church somewhere in Cupertino. But when I think about it as it relates to Bethel, I want you to know we can't do that. We can't be here as individuals, like self-contained, and not reach out to others. I just want to tell you that if I am the only person that you talk to on a Sunday morning or shake hands with, we have a problem. It is our responsibility to make all people feel welcome. And as you have told me so many years ago, hospitality is a core value, not because I said so, but because you said it was important to us. And here's what I know, is that if people don't feel welcomed by us, they don't come back. So we extend ourselves to people we don't know so that they feel welcomed, so that they understand that they matter to us, and more importantly, when we extend ourselves to people we don't know, what we are also saying is that they matter to Jesus. And so being there reminded me that that is important. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but I just had to get this off my chest. This is important stuff for us as a church. But so here's where I'm really going. I just wanted to get, that's just like, I just got to talk about it. We know that once Thanksgiving ends, people jump right into Christmas, right? For some people, that doesn't even that. It's Thanksgiving dinner ends, and it's time to put up the tree. There's no gap. And for other folks, it starts even earlier than that. I know some stores started advertising Christmas stuff like at the end of Halloween. So depending on who you ask, when does the Christmas season begin? And I found out that there is deep sin in my own family. I told you we were in Phoenix or Peoria, Arizona for Thanksgiving, and two of our three kids came out, and over the course of Thanksgiving dinner, two kids that were there admitted that they had put up their mini Christmas trees in their room the day after Halloween. secret sin in my own family. They did it on All Saints Day. That's not the day to put up the tree. And I tried to get them to repent of this soul-crushing sin. And they would not. Brian, I need you to pray for our children, okay? I don't know what's going to become of them putting up Christmas trees so early. I mean, people want to rush into Christmas. I'm totally not judging, because as the song goes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But the church, we kind of have something in between, right? We have this thing called Advent to get ready for Christmas. And that word Advent is just a fancy way of saying someone is arriving. Someone's coming, and we should get ready for that guest. And, you know, we're not just celebrating the birth of Jesus or getting ready to celebrate an event. We also have one eye towards the fact that Jesus promised that he's coming back one day and that we should get ready for that. Now, as I was studying, and that's what I do to get ready, not only for Sunday morning, but just in a season, I do a little bit of studying. And what I found out was the same things that we do to get ready to have guests over for the holidays are the same things that we can do to get ready for Jesus. And not just at Christmas time, but at any time. So that's what I'm going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. But I wanted to make this more interesting, and so I decided to handle this in a different way, because I mean, we could do it in Christmas hymns, you know, let every heart prepare him room, but I, you know, we all know that hymn. I want to do this in a way that gets everybody's attention. So I don't know if you're a fan of game shows. Some of you might be, some of you might not. I used to watch game shows as a kid, because that's what was on during the day when we'd have an off day of school. I don't have a chance to do them now, but I thought today we would play a little Family Feud today. I thought that might be kind of fun. Now, is Dave Denny in the room? Did he run away? Oh, he is here. I called on him last time because you're a good game show contestant, and you're the perfect game show contestant because you're a professor, which means you're smart, which means you know how to play the game, and I like Family Feud, so let's see. We're going to see how you do in this service compared to last service. So this is just like Family Feud, except that I changed the rules. And the rule is this. I just want you to name the number one answer, because we have an answer a week. So we're gonna go with what is the number one answer. And here's the question. Name something you do before you have company over for the holidays. Name something you do before you have company over for the holidays. And so I'm gonna put this over to Dave Denny, and I just want you to give me the number one answer. We have five answers on the board. We surveyed 100 people. That's what I did this past week. And I have the best answers here. And so I'm going to give Dave a crack at the number one answer.
All right, well, good for number one.
Just number one.
My family has given me good advice. But I think I know what number one is. I think the number one answer is cat grooming.
Cat grooming. So I've always wanted to say this. I've always wanted to say this, and here's my chance. Survey says. you know, this sermon alone, if this pastor thing doesn't work out, I think I want to be a game show host. I think that's where my next. Yeah, some of you are encouraging me. Yeah, you should go do that right now. Like, let's go. So the number one answer is, you gotta say it like we do in the game show. Number one answer is? That's right. Isn't that beautiful? So, I like the sound effects. Okay, so anyways. The things we do to get ready for people over at the holidays are the same things we can do spiritually to get ready for Christmas and the arrival of Jesus. So maybe you're one of these people who have so much time on your hands that your house really never gets dirty because you have enough time to do fine-tune cleaning all the time. And I think that's great if you're one of those people, not the Bergrins. When we have people over, we have to clean the house because it always needs a little something. I mean, years ago, it was first the kids, then it was the kids and the dogs. And now it's just the dogs. And so we, and now it started raining, so we're tracking mud in. I mean, we always have something to do. And so we decided, rather than host people for Thanksgiving, we're not going to clean the house. We went to Meemaw's house for Thanksgiving, so we didn't have to clean the house at all, which I think was great. Oh, actually, we have to clean the house no matter what, because we have now two elderly dogs, and we don't have the heart to put them in a kennel, so we have to have somebody come and dog sit, so we still have to clean the house. And to make matters worse is this person who loves our dogs dearly actually works with Rachel at the Marine Mammal Center, so if we didn't clean the house perfectly, she would tell everybody at her work what a terrible house we keep. So we actually have to clean the house even more, because we don't want people talking about how nasty we are. It would be horrible. In life, there's always something to be cleaned, right? There's always something to be done. And speaking of that, we're in the 21st century. I want to know when they're going to invent self-cleaning dishes. I mean, I was the one who suggested that, you know, when we get married, that when we register for fine china, we should just register for chinette. But it's no longer responsible or acceptable to do such things. So we have to clean dishes all the time. I mean, there's just always something. But I want you to know, the good news is this. Jesus doesn't really care how clean your house is, but he does care about the condition of your heart and soul. Now, the question is it possible to do some house cleaning of your heart and soul? I mean, is that actually a possible thing besides cleaning house? Can you clean your heart and soul? And to answer that question, obviously, we always have to go back to Scripture to see what Jesus has to say. And we find out that Jesus actually does have something to say about how we clean our souls. Jesus in Luke, he had just been talking to a group of people about perception, about the things you see, and how we should be receptive to the light of Christ and be open to see the goodness out in the world, that God is active and out there, and we should be looking for that light in the world. And when we don't, when we only see darkness, it will actually affect our souls. This is what Jesus is talking about before we get to the gospel passage that was read earlier today. And it makes sense that in the season of Advent, what we call the season of increasing light, that we need to be looking for the light of Christ, not only in ourselves, but out in the world as well. And the Pharisee, the religious leader that had heard Jesus talking about this, was so intrigued by this idea of looking for goodness in the world that he invited Jesus over to dinner. And the only reason you would invite Jesus to dinner is that you were so intrigued at what he was saying, you wanted to talk more. So they sit down to dinner, and this Pharisee, who is a religious leader, a formally trained religious leader, I mean, not unlike a pastor, immediately sees that Jesus did not wash his hands before dinner. So Jesus uses it as a teaching moment, and he says, "Now then, you Pharisees, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness." So he turns this whole script about washing your hands kind of upside down. He just totally messes it up, and he says, what is on the inside matters as much or more than what's on the outside. But he's not done. He also says, we are the cup. And when we wash dishes, we don't just wash the outside of the cup, we wash the whole thing. Now, let me give you an example of this. You don't want to drink out of my church coffee cup. Because on the inside, I know it's hard for you to see, but on the inside, there's lots of dried coffee rings on the inside. Now, it looks plenty clean on the outside. Let me just give you a better version of that. That's what my coffee cup somewhat looks like. And it looks clean on the outside until you look on the inside. And Jesus is making this great point. He just says, just because you have good hygiene, just because you're clean and some of you showered this morning, doesn't mean everything is okay on the inside. He said it's the human condition. It applies equally to everybody. It's not just, oh, this is for the Christians. This is like whether you believe in something or not or something else, This is equal stuff for all of humanity, is that what's going on the inside must be addressed. I mean, think about it. When things don't go our way, we get angry. People get under our skin. Certain situations try our patience or make us sad or make us bitter, and we want things to go our way. We want people to do the things we want them to do. We want the world to conform to our ideas, including the fact that sometimes we have really good intentions to make the world a better place, and when that doesn't happen, we get upset. Then, once we experience that bitterness or that disappointment or what's going on, whatever it is, we identify the problem. And the problem is always on the outside. It's always the other. The problem is always external. It's not our fault we feel the way we do, because if things were different, well, then we wouldn't be upset. The problem is never in our own cups. It's always in someone or something else's cup. Matter of fact, I would venture to say that most of us are hesitant to look inside our own cup, our own souls. And that's the cup that Jesus is talking about. We always want to point to someone else's or something else's cup. Matter of fact, we're actually quick to help someone else clean up their mess or point out their mess than look at our own. Matter of fact, some people just want to avoid what's going on in their own souls, so they're helpers. They want to help everybody else because they don't want to actually take the time to see what's going on inside. Matter of fact, it's not just like relational stuff. I mean, there's big things in the world too. I mean, it's good that when we see problems out in the world, we take a side, we take an issue, and we want to advocate for that when there's injustice happening, right? But sometimes the problems are so big that an individual isn't going to change it. What we champion may not be fixed so easily, which then again turns back into that bitterness and that disappointment. And so when I think about all these things going on that stain our cup, I go back to this prayer. And a lot of you know it, but it helps me keep my sanity and millions of others. And it is called the Serenity Prayer. So let's pray this together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. When we don't know or are not self-aware to know what we can change and what we can't, we end up banging our heads against the wall. And that causes us to get even more upset. So we got to go back to Jesus and we ask him, so Jesus, how do we clean the inside of our cups? Well, it just so happens he tells the Pharisees what needs to happen. He says, but give what is inside the dish to the poor and everything will be clean for you. What? Giving instead of taking. Cleaning and decluttering versus adding. Amazing. Now think about this in the context of what we do here at church. We are totally getting ready for Christmas by doing that. 2 weeks ago, turkey drive. We got to get turkeys out to folks at Gloria Day in the Lord's Pantry so that other folks can have Thanksgiving dinner. Boom, we did turkeys. Then today, we have the Help One Child Christmas gifts due so that foster kids might have a little bit more Christmas than they normally would do. And then, as you know, for the month of December, we're doing an item a week for our local social service organization, West Valley Community Services. And so by doing those things which may seem insignificant, what Jesus is telling us is that we are actually making more room for him and cleaning our cup the more we give of ourselves. What a beautiful thing to be reminded of as we begin this march towards Christmas. Now, Paul, St. Paul, Pastor Paul, he has an opinion on everything. If you haven't studied him, you need to know he has an opinion on everything, and he actually talks about this very thing as well, and you heard a little bit of it, and he says, look, you need to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So he says, yeah, there might be some things that we need to get rid of to declutter in our spiritual homes so that we can make more room for the love of Jesus. Maybe we shouldn't wait for spring cleaning to address these things. And sometimes, once we are aware of them, we can work on them. Sometimes we struggle with something so much that we're going to need extra help, and I'll get there in a second. But there are some things that we can say, yeah, I got an issue with that, and I got to work on that. It's not just you. It's not just this church. It's not just what's the people here. It's the whole world. We struggle with these things, including myself. I don't even have to look at Scripture to know this. You know where else where I can look? I found this out this week. You know how you can find out the condition of your soul? I found that you can actually go to Facebook and take a quiz and find this out. Did you know that? So nobody at First Service wanted to admit this. Has anybody ever taken a Facebook quiz? Oh, nobody wants to admit it. See, thank you, thank you. So I'm the only one who takes Facebook quizzes, okay? So fine. I'm gonna enlighten you. I'm pretty sure they're scientifically valid, right? And they're very true. So I took one the other day to see how good I am. Like, that's not flawed, right? That's totally not flawed. I want to see how good I am. So this was I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, here it is. And the quiz was this, which I find, do not take this seriously, folks, okay? Just have some fun with this. The quiz was this: what would the devil text you if he was going to give you a text message? What would the devil, I'm like, this is going to be great. He's going to hate everything I do. So I take the quiz. I did not post it. Here's what I found out. Ben, you have been an inspiration to me. You might look like an angel, but sometimes even I need some lessons from you. I would have pointed at somebody else who would have gotten that, but I'm not going to name names, right? Just and then I put the, and so I'm so disappointed in this. And by the way, all of you who laughed at me, I have something for you too. This is for you that you laughed at me. Santa's been watching your Facebook post, and he's bringing Bibles and dictionaries for everybody. So just that's for the rest of you right there. Okay. But let's go back to that list for a second. Maybe you say, well, I'm not a brawler. I don't slander. I don't have a lot of malice. I'm not super angry. But there's one up there, that first one that we all struggle with. When things don't go our way, we get bitter. And its cousin follows disappointment. We all struggle with bitterness, and it's hard to get rid of it when things don't turn out the way that we had hoped. And sometimes we can't even get rid of that we need an industrial strength cleaner because we can't actually deal with it. St. Paul reminds us who is willing to come to help and that we do not have to do it on our own. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, and here it is, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we don't necessarily have to have our spiritual homes totally in order to welcome Jesus into our lives, that the part of who he was to come to help us clean our own houses. And that is good news for us because there are some tough stains in our lives that we can't get rid of without him. And that is why he came to us. But make no mistake, we need to ask him to help us. We often like the messes we make. And we often try to hide the messes we make too. Remember, even St. Peter, Jesus' closest friend, didn't even want Jesus to wash his feet. But Jesus told him, if I can't even wash what's on the outside, how can I even wash and make clean what is on the inside? So as we get ready for Christmas, let us come clean and ask God for help. Amen.